1, I'll direct your attention down to verse 5, and I'm going to preach through chapter 1, chapter 2 over the next couple few weeks leading up to Christmas time. Luke chapter 2, of course, is a very famous Christmas passage with the birth of Christ, and we'll work our way to there. But tonight I want to be in chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 5 through 25 for our text, and I promise I won't keep you long here tonight. There are several that are sick. We'll mention them as well. Pray for Brother Girth. He was in the emergency room today. I'll share that with you as well when we have our time to pray. Just pray for him. All right, verse 5, Luke 1 and verse 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abiah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zacharias said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb, and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. And the people waited for Zacharias, and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them, and remained speechless. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. In our fast-paced world, we often find ourselves, at least I do, maybe some of you are the same, find myself wrestling with impatience. Just traffic alone drives me nuts. And I like freedom, and I'll go the long way around if it means that I can keep moving rather than sitting in, you know, standstill traffic on an interstate of all things, an interstate standstill traffic. I'll take the long way around. I'll pay the toll if I can get there, even at the same amount of time, but at least I'm moving. You know, I struggle with impatience. I want things to happen, and I want them often to happen, and I think you're probably the same. We want things to happen on our time schedule, when it's convenient for me and when I want it. And that's kind of the way it is with our fast-paced world, and we have everything convenient at our fingertips with our cell phones, and we have fast food, and we have all the things. And And it contributes to the natural, probably, desire to want things to be done in our time frame. Now, that might be okay in the physical world to some extent, but often that carries over into the spiritual world. It carries over into life. It carries over into our dealings, even our communication with God. God's word reminds us, though, that when it comes to God, God is never late. God is never early. God's timing is always perfect. And our text tells us of a story of a man named Zacharias and his wife Elizabeth, a couple who served the Lord together, a couple who experienced this very issue, desiring something but not getting that thing, and God working in such a way to provide and produce, but it was all according to God's time and God's plan and God's perfect timing. They experienced God's perfect timing in their life, even in the midst of their own, if you want to call them, struggles. And you know, we all have, just like the year has seasons, it changes. We all have seasons of life that we go through where change happens, where different circumstances come around. And I think that we can relate to some things that Zacharias and Elizabeth went through before they saw the fulfillment of what God had in store for them. And tonight I want us to just look at this passage. We're going to be working our way through chapter 1 and chapter 2 over the next few weeks. And I want to get to certainly the life of Jesus Christ. But tonight as we begin here, I want to look at this couple, Zacharias and Elizabeth, and look at some things that they went through before they saw the fulfillment of what God had in store, and make some comparisons, some applications to seasons of life that you and I go through, especially when there's something that we desire, that we're praying, asking the Lord for. And I think you'll see where we're going as we get into this. Let's pray, and then we'll ask the Lord's blessing. Thank you, Lord, for the time here tonight. These just these few short moments, I pray that we would be able to be encouraged in our prayer life, encouraged in our relationship with you, in our faith, our waiting on the Lord, our trust that your timing is always perfect. And Lord, I don't know what someone may be experiencing even right now, but these are so practical for not only today, but tomorrow and the different seasons of life that we might go through. I pray that you'd use your word to encourage people tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. The first I want to draw out here is, and we're going to talk about seasons, but I want to use this text and things that they went through to make those points. And the first I want to draw out is in verses 5 through 7. There was a season of waiting, a season of waiting. In verse 5, there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. The Bible tells us here that Zacharias and Elizabeth were righteous before the Lord, that they had good standing with God, that they were serving God together, that they lived righteous lives, but there was something happening in their life that had been with them for a very long time, a long season of waiting for a child. The waiting that they went through wasn't just a few months. It wasn't a couple of years. In fact, it was many, many years filled with, no doubt, unanswered prayers and deep longing for this thing. When they were young, they prayed for a child. And I'm going to show you something in just a minute here. But when they were young, they prayed for a son. The Lord didn't answer that prayer. As they grew older, they continued to pray for a child. And they were well stricken in years, the Bible says, when the angel appeared and confirmed to Zacharias the answer of the Lord. Zacharias had prayed about this thing for so long that he even had ceased to believe that his prayer could or would be answered. In verse 18, Zacharias said, "Whereby shall I know this? How am I going to know that this is a real thing? Because I'm an old man now, and my wife is well stricken in years, past the age of childbearing, no doubt." Verse 20 says that the angel told him, you're going to be dumb and not be able to speak until these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words. And it tells us that this is something that they had longed for, but it had gotten to the point where Zacharias didn't believe that it was going to be a thing that could happen. But I want you to see verse 13. Verse 13 says, "But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John." I did a little looking on that phrase, "thy prayer is heard." And what I discovered was that this phrase could literally be translated, "was heard and is still being heard." And it told me something. I got the idea that this is something that they had prayed for so long, and they had prayed and prayed and prayed, and they didn't get an answer from the Lord on this. They weren't holding it in their hands, but it confirms the truth that his prayer had been heard and his prayer had been answered, but it was in the past. And what do I mean by that? God answered his prayer. It was the will of God that he was going to do this, but God had merely waited for the perfect moment to display that answer. And here's the application I want to make with that, because there are times when God says, wait, when we pray. Sometimes we think that these prayers that we pray go unanswered. Sometimes we think that it must not be the will of God because it hasn't happened yet. And our faith begins to wane and our strength begins to falter. But in reality, God has heard the prayer. And sometimes God has already answered that prayer. Even in the affirmative, he is just waiting for the perfect time, his time, to make it known in which he will be the most glorified. It just isn't God's time to reveal that answer. But how many of you can relate to a season of waiting on something? Maybe you're not in the same situation. Maybe you're not praying for a child. Maybe you are. Maybe it's healing. Maybe it's some sort of relationship. Maybe it's a problem in a relationship. We're waiting. Maybe it's some other thing. Whatever it is, you fill in the blank, but waiting can be challenging because we want things to be done in our time. But in our waiting, we must remember that God, his ear is not deaf. We need to remember that God is not silent randomly. God doesn't do anything randomly. Even in our waiting, God is still at work, even when we can't see it. And often, God will use these seasons when I don't know the answer, and something I'm praying for, and I can't see what the answer is, and I don't know when, and I don't know how, but it's something I'm praying and asking the Lord for. In those times when the Lord wants us to wait, God often uses that to prepare us, to grow us in our faith, to develop our character, to test our dependence on the Lord. We're taught in the Bible to make our prayers in faith, trusting God that he will answer in his time. Now, sometimes God's answer is no. However, when God delays the answer to our prayers, God is waiting, not for our time, not for when we think it's the best, but for a time when he will get the most glory. Isaiah 30 and verse 18 says, "And therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you. And therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him." This was a thing that Zacharias and Elizabeth longed for, but the Lord didn't give them an answer. They had no child because Elizabeth was barren. And now they're old. They're well stricken in years. They had a season of waiting. Secondly, in verses 8 through 20, we see that there was a season of doubt. We don't need to read all of that again. But as Zacharias is ministering in his priest's office before God in the order of his course, doing what his custom was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord, the people, the multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense, and he was going about his life. He had prayed about this thing, him and his wife. The Lord didn't give them that answer. Life had moved on. He continued faithful in his service to the Lord. And the angel appears and he says to him, "Your prayer is heard. And your wife is going to bear a son, and you're going to call his name John. And you're going to have joy and gladness. And people are going to rejoice at his birth. And he's special in the sight of the Lord. And he's going to have a special job being the forerunner of Jesus Christ. He's going to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Wow, what an exciting revelation to hear. And verse 18 says, "And Zacharias said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And the angel said to him, I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. God sent me to tell you this. And now you're going to be dumb and not able to speak until the day these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words." And notice he says, "which shall be fulfilled in their season." Just as the timing of the Lord is perfect. We note here, though, that we get the idea, at least, that Zacharias and maybe even Elizabeth experienced some doubt in their life. Zacharias, surely. Because when he was visited by the angel Gabriel, he struggled to believe that message because of his age, because of his wife's age and her barrenness. And his doubt led to a moment of silence, both literally and metaphorically, because he was questioning God. How am I really going to know this? It's not really possible because I'm old and so is she. He questioned God's promise. You know, he's not unique. Doubt is a natural human response in many cases. And if you were honest, you would probably say that you have doubted the Lord at times in your own life, especially when faced with impossible situations. And even the most faithful among us can experience moments of doubt, just like Zacharias did. But what do we do when we are struggling with doubts? What do we do when we have those moments of doubt? What should we do? I think the most important thing is to simply be honest with the Lord and bring those doubts before the Lord. Talk to the Lord about our doubts and our fears. It's not like He doesn't know anyway, but at least we're being honest with the Lord. Instead of being discouraged by those things, we can use them as opportunities to deepen our faith. You remember the man who had a son who was possessed of devils, and he came to the Lord to have the devils cast out, but Jesus was gone at the time. And so he asked the disciples, "Can you do anything about it?" And they couldn't. Remember that? And Jesus comes down and sees the situation and takes hold of the situation and talks to the man, and he says, All things are possible if you only believe. And the man was honest before the Lord. And he said, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. God's power is not dependent on our understanding of things. God's power is not dependent on our full knowledge of the outcome of things. But often, God is limited only because of our doubt and our lack of faith. God's power is only dependent on His plan. And we just need to get on board with God's plan with things, rather than being discouraged, rather than being defeated. Take those doubts to the Lord. Allow the Lord to use them even as opportunities to deepen our faith. The Lord will often hide from us, from our eyes, the end result or the answer for a time to get us to trust Him, to strengthen our faith. He had a moment of doubt, but ultimately, in the timing of the Lord, the perfect timing of the Lord, they experienced the season of fulfillment. Go to verse 21. And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple. For he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. Finally, after this period of silence came the fulfillment of God's promise. The Bible tells us Elizabeth conceived. The Bible gives us the indication that she had felt reproach and shame in her life because she couldn't have children. No doubt she had suffered that disappointment in her life as well. But that season of barrenness gave way to blessing. And God's timing in it all was so critical because John the Baptist would be the one who would prepare the way for the Messiah, for Jesus Christ. And we don't have the time tonight to, we'll look at all of this as we walk through it, this whole story. But the timing of the Lord is so perfect. In this season of fulfillment, it wasn't immediate. It wasn't in their timetable. They didn't understand all that God had in store. But God was faithful, and God delivered on His promise. And Elizabeth and Zacharias were able to experience the blessing of the Lord. Now, Elizabeth and Zacharias, their story, it teaches us that God's timing always aligns perfectly with God's purposes. This is so critical in our own Christian life. God's timing always aligns perfectly with God's purposes. When we can't see the way, when we don't understand how, we need to trust the Lord that God's purposes are never going to fail. And we need to anticipate God's blessings, even when we wait on the timing of the Lord, because the Lord may be preparing us. He may be orchestrating events behind the scenes that we know nothing about. He might be shaping our hearts and preparing us to be able to actually receive the gift that He has in store. The Lord knows, and we don't. And so as we reflect on this passage tonight, we need to be reminded that the seasons of life, they're in God's hands. The season of waiting sometimes is preparation. We might go through some times of doubt. What do? We take it to the Lord. Our faith could grow. Ultimately, God is going to be faithful to Himself and to His purposes, and we are blessed from that. Trust that God is not silent in your life. Trust that God is engaged with your life. Even when we can't see it, He's aware of our circumstances. He works in ways that we cannot see. And so the encouragement is, remain faithful. Remain hopeful in the Lord, knowing that His plans are always for our good and for His glory. And I'm going to close tonight with two questions. You say, Pastor, what do you do when it just doesn't seem like God is answering or going to answer? And the second question is there ever a time to stop praying? Do we just keep on praying? The first question, when prayer seems unanswered, we should do some self-examination first of all. First of all, examine your own heart. Is your heart right with the Lord? You might be going through a season where you're waiting or you're wondering, and I'm praying and praying and praying, and God just doesn't seem to be doing anything. Sometimes our prayers are hindered because our heart is not truly right with the Lord. Psalm 66 and verse 18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So number one, make sure your heart is right with God. That was not the case with Zacharias and Elizabeth. They were righteous before the Lord. They served the Lord together faithfully. God was just saying, wait. Secondly, when prayer seems unanswered, be sure your heart is right with God, but secondly, be sure that you're asking according to God's will. The Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 5, in verse 14, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. Make sure we're asking according to God's will. And when we're asking according to God's will, if it doesn't seem like we have the answer yet, just keep praying. Just keep trusting. Because the Word of God tells us that we know He hears us, and whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. When prayer seems unanswered, make sure your heart is right with God. Make sure you're asking according to the will of God. The Bible does tell us that sometimes prayer isn't answered because we ask amiss, that we may consume it upon our lust. We need to pray according to the will of God. But then secondly, is there ever a time to stop praying? One pastor said this. He said, yes, you can stop praying when you have the answer in your hand. Praise the Lord for it. And report it, tell about it. You can stop praying. Or secondly, when God reveals a better way, you can stop praying for that thing. And the example that he used, I remember this, was 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 7. You remember when the Apostle Paul prayed to the Lord three times that the thorn in his flesh would be removed? And the Lord said, no, my grace is sufficient for thee. And Paul stopped praying for that thing to be removed. Instead, what he did was praise the Lord and accepted it as the answer of God. And the point is this, until the answer comes, keep praying. Wait for it. God will come through in His time. I don't know what might be your case or what situation you might be going through. You might be struggling with some impatience. There might be something you are longing for that you've prayed for over and over and over again, and the Lord hasn't given you that. Don't be discouraged. Take those doubts and fears to the Lord. Trust the Lord. And if you have the answer in your heart, if you believe that's the will of God that you pray, then keep on praying, trusting. God's timing is never wrong. And God is going to be most glorified, and you are going to be most blessed when the Lord reveals Himself. And I would just encourage you with this tonight as we reflect on this. Waiting isn't always bad. Sometimes we go through those seasons of waiting, Remember, the Lord is still engaged with your life, that He's aware of your circumstances. He's working in ways that you cannot see. So trust Him. Be faithful. And remember that His plans and His purposes are always for His glory and our good. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that You'd encourage tonight. Maybe there's somebody who is feeling somewhat discouraged with circumstances or situations of life. Lord, would You direct their heart back to You to be encouraged by Your Word. Lord, that You're engaged all the time. And it may seem like silence, but Lord, maybe You're preparing the heart. Maybe You're growing in their faith so that they can actually receive the blessing that You have in store. Maybe You're shaping in ways that they don't see or understand. I pray that You'd encourage them, that You're always faithful. Lord, we need our faith to be tested, challenged, and grown. And I pray that You'd help us, Lord, to grow in our trust in You. Thank You for Your Word, for the time we share tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.